909-8686.
Margaret Gray. Margaret, let me just, you still got Jay Santos there? Margaret, let me just for a moment get her up on line one, if you wouldn't mind. Ask you, I know that your son, Jason Jay, went through a little bit of a trauma this weekend, correct? We still have Jay Santos' radio room up. What's going on there? Can we bring up... Margaret, are you there?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here. I don't know who you were speaking with, but I was talking all this time. I don't know if you could hear me.
No, we had a cross signal there with our past guest. You, your son, is losing his dog, right?
We are going to get rid of Bandit, yes. Bandit is Jason Jay's pet beagle. He is absolutely devastated. I don't know how many parents are listening right now, but whenever you have to take a pet from a child, Phil, it just breaks your heart, but we had no choice. And we're going to take him over to the vet. But I just...
Tell me how this started.
Well, it started on Sunday, and it's really difficult for me to go through. I will tell you that I had some guests over. We had some friends over. Del Parker was over, the book publisher.
Because I know you're working on your book, right?
I'm working on the book. We also had some story editors. It's a very difficult story to tell from a couple of standpoints, but maybe the women in your audience can relate to this. I'm going to do a column on this. It's about a mother, a little boy, and his pet. And it really starts, Phil, with the fact, and, oh, my God, I have to sit down.
Go ahead. I know that you're traumatized. Margaret Gray is with us. She's a writer. Her son, Jason Jay's pet beagle, the family is going to have to get rid of the dog. Go ahead.
Phil, I have monthly a rather heavy menstrual cycle, and it necessitates that I change my protection almost hourly.
I understand.
I'm in the living room with the publisher, Del Parker, and some of his story editors. We're going over galleys for the new book. Suddenly, down the hall comes Bandit, and in his mouth is one of my soiled sanitary napkins.
That you had left where? In a waste paper basket?
That I had left in a waste paper basket. And you know something? You act on instinct. The humiliation is so overwhelming, you don't know what to do. You're almost stunned that you are so humiliated and that a dog, not a human being, but a dog, could visit upon you such absolute humiliation that you act on instinct.
Now, here is where the story, you have to pick it up. You did what then?
I acted on instinct, Phil. I went to our fireplace. I picked up one of the fireplace shovels, and I struck the animal, I believe, 4 to 5 times. And that's all I can tell you. I'm obviously, I feel bad for my career, because the book was going to be coming out this spring. Del Parker was stunned. He was...
Well, what stunned him? I mean, two things happened here. The dog came out of the bathroom with one of your soiled napkins in his mouth, and then you hit it with the...
No, what stunned him was the... Phil, what I did was, I think, understandable. What I'm trying to say to you is, this has pushed back the publish date for my book. Del was stunned that he saw such a thing.
Well, okay, so the dog came out of the bathroom.
Do you understand what it is I'm saying to you?
No, I understand how humiliating and embarrassing it was, yes. So
Del stood up, because into the living room comes a dog with something bloody in its mouth, and I remember Del standing up and going, oh, my sweet Christ, and we were all shocked, and then I recognized, I said, oh, my God. And I did the only thing I could do, and that was go to the fireplace and get the fireplace shovel.
And then you beat the animal?
I remembered, and unfortunately, I play golf, and I went into an instinctive golf swing. I just...
You took a fireplace shovel and with a golf swing hit your dog.
Yes, I did, Phil, and I know that Jason is going to be very... He's going to feel bad, but I told him, don't you understand what happened to Mommy? Bandit embarrassed Mommy. He went into the bathroom and got one of Mommy's private things and pulled it out of the waste paper basket and carried it into the living room.
Well, isn't a dog going to...
I mean, I teed up on that dog's ass, and if I could have, I would have drove him 400 yards. I was that upset. But I told him...
You hit his dog, and the dog is injured, right?
The dog's at the vet right now, yes.
I'm stunned. I'm stunned from a couple of things, that the dog would come in, and I'm embarrassed for you, but also, Margaret...
No, Phil, there's a difference here, and I want you to be clear...
But, Margaret, you hit an animal with a fireplace shovel.
I want you to be clear. Let's not turn this around. Let's focus on what's important. I'm a human being. That's a dog. I'm more important. That isn't. I have a book deal with Johnson Books. The last time I checked, our dog didn't have a book deal.
You hit an innocent dog.
I hit an animal that had gone into a waste paper basket and pulled out one of my feminine napkins and had it in its mouth.
Won't dogs do that?
Dogs will do what dogs will do, but they don't embarrass you. I don't know what dogs will do. I had dogs my entire life. They never went into the waste paper basket and pulled out a soiled tampon and dragged it into the living room for all the world to see as if it's some kind of a big joke.
And well, but the dogs don't know what a joke is. They don't know that they're embarrassing you. They're playing with it, right?
Well, he played with the wrong Marine, as the saying goes in For a Few Good Men. You're effing with the wrong Marine, and I was very, very upset. And excuse my language, because...
Well, you do sound really upset.
I am upset, especially that you would suddenly say, well, the dog, but what about me? What about the fact that there, in front of one of the most prominent publishers in New York, I'm setting down on paper what can be a very important book, and a dog walks in with one of my tampons in its mouth?
Well,
yes, it's embarrassing.
Yes, it is. I'm going to give our phone number out here, Margaret.
All right. I don't mean to yell, Phil.
No, I know. I know it was embarrassing for you. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray is on the line. They have a pet beagle at their home. Apparently the beagle went into the waste paper basket and got out one of your tampons.
No, it was a Kotex.
Okay, but it had been used, right?
Yes, it had.
It pulled it out of the waste paper basket, and you struck the animal. Now, I honestly don't want to keep harping on this, okay?
Look, Phil, I know it was hurting Jason J. Delmonico. When I was hitting the animal, the only thing that made me stop was I heard Jason's voice saying, Mommy, please, no. No, Mommy, stop hitting Bandit.
Were you out of control?
Would you be out of control if a beagle went in?
No, I'm asking you.
Let me ask you. If a beagle went into a waste paper basket and in front of some of your dearest friends brought one of your used rubbers out in its mouth, how would you feel about that?
You want to know how I'd feel about it? I would say, look at that stupid dog, and I would grab him by the collar, and I'd take him back into the room.
Well, you're not a woman, Phil, and it's something really only a woman can understand.
Maybe it is something only a woman can understand, that a beagle went and got your used feminine napkin, if we could call it that.
That's fine.
A used feminine napkin brought out. It's an embarrassing thing. But you hit that dog with a fireplace shovel, as you said, quote, I teed up on its ass, end quote. You also said that you would have kept hitting the dog had you not heard your son, Jason J., say, no, Mommy, please, stop hitting Bandit. 1-800, it's just a very tragic story. Margaret Gray is going to feature this in her column tomorrow. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Margaret Gray. She's a syndicated columnist. She also has a book coming out this spring, The History of Hollywood. And I guess she was meeting with her publisher when this very embarrassing incident happened at her home in Santa Monica. Her pet beagle went into the waste paper basket in the bathroom and pulled what she describes as a soiled feminine napkin, and then pranced into the living room with it in front of all of these people that she had over. 1-800-449-8686. Then what we'll do is we'll take a call just before our break. Can we please get Jay Santos out of here? Because he's... Margaret, if you're there, we'll take a phone call. I can't. Are you there, dear?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Sabrina. Go ahead, Sabrina.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm calling on a cell phone, so I hope it's clear.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to say I am outraged and incensed at the absolute gall of this woman
What about the dog?
What would you have done if your two-year-old child had come out with this and had done this? Would you have taken a shovel and driven him 400 yards?
Darling,
A child is not the same as a dog.
A dog.
There is nothing you can say. That dog was an innocent victim in a senseless crime, and you should go to jail.
I beg your pardon, but that animal came out with a used feminine napkin in its mouth. Everyone was shocked and revolted by what that animal did.
And they would have gotten over that. They will not get over the vision of you senselessly, practically murdering your dog living room.
It was instinctive. I reached for the shovel. You would have done the same
thing. Well, let me tell you, lady, I fear for your kids. Are your children teenagers?
I beg your pardon.
Because
I treat my children very, very well. I have a
son. Well, you are the most selfish person, I have ever. I'm sitting here. I am shaking. I am so incensed.
Sabrina, let me ask
at the
you a
insanity.
Well, this is. I knew this would happen. See, I knew that people would react this way, Margaret, because
Wait a second. Are you saying to me that a two-year-old child is the same as a dog? How dare you?
No, I'm not. Of course, I'm not.
No,
but I'm saying it sounds to me
that
you have no remorse whatsoever for what you did. If you felt the least bit embarrassed by your actions, I might be able to have some sympathy for you. But I feel galled as a human being.
Apparently, you say it's instinctive, but at least one of the people there said that you put on a golf glove. Is that right?
I don't remember.
It was a show to me, and it sounds like you're proud of it.
You slowed down long enough to put a golf glove on and then grab a fireplace shovel.
I don't have any recollection of that, Phil. I don't know. All I know is that I was mortified having a Kotex dragged into the living room in front of some of the most prominent publishers in New York.
Well, it sounds like to me, lady, you got your priorities all out of whack.
Well,
you
Sabrina,
are so
there
concerned
are some
about
of us that have more to do with our lives
everything else. But
than
you
putting sunglasses
your image. You ruined your image. If your book doesn't get published, it's because of your senseless, violent nature and nothing else.
You know, you sound like the kind of person that puts sunglasses on dogs and bandanas around their necks.
No,
don't
I don't.
Don't
actually,
you?
I don't.
Don't
actually,
you?
I
bet you
I don't.
Do.
I'm not at all. And I have a problem with people who do that occasionally. But you know, I think that they go overboard entirely.
Yeah.
You know, I really do.
All right,
but
Margaret,
this is
I gotta ask
cruelty.
You. I gotta ask
this
you, Mr. Parker. Mr. Parker mentioned. Did you mutter, "Mommy gonna hit a hole in one"?
I might have. I don't know.
You see, you say it was instinct. You put on a golf glove. You mutter something about hitting a hole-in-one, and then, in your words, teed off on that dog with a fireplace shovel.
I am absolutely shocked that you and your listeners would take sides with a dumb animal over a human being that was mortified.
A dumb animal that couldn't defend itself, that didn't have any idea what it was doing.
Oh,
it was
it
playing with a
full
plastic
idea. It was,
ball for all it knew.
It
had no idea
soiled,
that it was embarrassing you. No idea that you were being humiliated. It had absolutely no concept of any wrongdoing whatsoever.
So, Sabrina, in other words, if your husband...
You are guilty.
If your husband...
You are flat-out guilty.
So I would like... I just want an answer. If your husband started waving around one of your dirty tampons in a party, that would be all right.
I wouldn't pick up a shovel and hit him. I'd slap him and I'd divorce him, but
you would slap him. That's
like me comparing the dog to your two-year-old. You're not talking apples and oranges here.
Well, I've
never seen you say a plastic ball. You're going to go murder your husband the next time he embarrasses you at a party? I got problems for you. I mean, I got news for you. How have you gotten this far in life?
Yeah, well, how do you compare her husband waving around a dirty tampon to your dog?
I've never seen a plastic ball drip blood before. So that is an absolutely ridiculous comparison.
This dog had no concept of what it was doing.
Thank you, Sabrina, for your call.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
thank
no, that's
you.
All right. Go ahead. You're the dog.
Dog had no concept of what it was doing. It had no idea that it didn't set out viciously and maliciously to come into your living room and embarrass you.
In other words, it was dumber than me.
In front of Del Parker.
It was dumber than me.
You know,
me. Yeah.
I mean, he had no.
Right.
There was no intent whatsoever on the part of that dog.
Oh, the dog comes into the bathroom every time I'm changing my pants and stares at me like a piece of meat.
How you can walk out in public? How you could come on a national radio
and
show
talk about
and
your...
even think that people were going to be sympathetic with you
I
is absolutely beyond
very,
my imagination.
I have a very heavy flow. My doctor, my gynecologist has had...
Sounds like you got hormone problems.
I went to the emergency room. I lost a quart of blood.
All right. Thank you very much, Sabrina. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray with us. She's a writer. She was in the middle of a publishing meeting. Her dog got one of her soiled feminine napkins out of the waste paper basket and brought it into the living room. She got so angry she grabbed, in her words, a fireplace shovel and struck the animal. She feels the dog embarrassed her, and she had some kind of a right to do that. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
With Margaret Gray, a author who is on the line with us from her home in Santa Monica, California. Apparently her dog came out of the bathroom carrying something that she didn't want it to be carrying, so she hit the dog.
Phil, I think it's really important that you tell people what it is, because the nature, that's why I got as crazy as I did. It was a soiled feminine napkin. It had blood on it. And he comes walking out for all the world to see with this.
And that's why you hit him with a shovel.
Wouldn't you? It's a normal thing to do. And
I don't know. I've never worn a feminine napkin. I suppose that it's embarrassing. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, the fact is, we're giving the dog up. We're going to take it to the vet and leave it there. Because I can't have...
That little boy, your 10-year-old son, is going to be devastated. Tanya, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you ever been clinically diagnosed for being psychotic or anything?
Diagnosed?
You have?
Hey, Tanya, turn your radio down, all right? You're a little confused there.
I think she said diagnosed.
Have you ever been diagnosed as being
darling, the
psychotic?
The word is diagnosed, not diagnose.
Do you know the definition of it? You said
yes,
you were embarrassed.
Yes, I do, but you don't know how to pronounce it. I don't know which is worse.
Now, well,
have you ever been?
Why would you insult me with that? A dog walked in with one of my Kotexes in its mouth. I suppose
you
think.
Because
I suppose you lie awake
crazy.
At night.
Do you not think? Listen. Do you not think that did this help anything? Did you?
Yes. It fell out of his mouth as soon as I hit it with the shovel. And I can tell you something else. Do you lie awake at night dreaming of a dog walking in with one of yours in his mouth?
I think I have more things to worry about. You know, I got over the junior high embarrassment of that, and also got lids for trash cans if you're so worried about that. You know what I mean?
I understand that, but obviously the animal was nosing around in an area that it shouldn't have been nosing around in. He could have cost me. I hit the dog, and the Kotex flew across the room, if that's what you're asking.
When you hit the dog with a shovel?
It went flying out of his mouth sideways, yes.
So, did you...
I can tell you, I cured him of the problem, but quick.
Did you accomplish not being embarrassed anymore? Did you not think this hurt your career at all?
I think the people that were there saw me act in a very decisive way. I think they saw how decisive I can be. And, again, I believe that they understood. Here comes
the dog. They probably understood that...
I can tell you what was embarrassing.
Crazy.
When I hit that dog with the shovel, the Kotex flew out of his mouth, hit a wall, and stuck there. And I only noticed that about 15 minutes later. Dell said, look at that. And the Kotex was stuck on the wall, and I was mortified, just mortified. You would be, too.
I don't think so.
I go to your house, you have the walls decorated with used Kotexes. Is that what I'm hearing here?
No, that's not what you're hearing.
The reason why probably my Kotex wouldn't stick to the wall is because you wrap it in toilet paper. You see what I mean? When you throw it in the trash, you wrap it up.
The dog unwrapped it.
Oh, wow, a smart dog, huh?
I guess, I don't know, but I can tell you it's a shock to see it slowly moving down the wall, leaving a streak of red.
Oh, my God. Can we not get graphic with this?
You are sick, and I really hope for those people that...
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Thank you, Tanya, very much. The Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Go.
Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking to Jay. Jay's just, he's out there in the ether someplace in his radio room. I'm talking with Margaret Gray, and she hit her son's beagle with a fireplace shovel after putting on a golf glove and muttering something about mommy getting a hole in one. And now the dog you say you're going to give up for adoption. I have a question for you, Margaret. How do you tell your son you're getting rid of his dog?
First of all, I think it's really low that you bring up that golf glove incident. I don't know.
That's what you were observed doing, and you didn't deny it.
I think it's very low, especially knowing that my son's listening. I would further say...
Look it. Don't turn this around on me, okay? Don't turn it around on me.
I think it's low. To answer your question, Phil, I tell my son what I would tell anyone. Mommy is a human being. I have a book deal in the works. Bandit was a dog. Bandit isn't as important as Mommy. Now, he doesn't understand, but he will. One thing that I don't let stand in my way is animals or children. I love my son very much, but no way does he or that beagle of his stand in the way of my book deal. And I can tell you that, Phil, having been a writer for many, many years. You know, I love animals. I really do. And for you to say the things that you're saying...
Well, I love animals, too, and I never teed off on one with a fireplace shovel.
You know, I love... You know what my favorite song is?
Hold on, I want to take a phone call, all right?
Yeah, I want to play my favorite song in a minute.
That's fine, let me take a phone call. 1-800-449-8686.
Why would a dog find my soiled pad so tasty? What should I be looking for, menstrual-flavored Alpo? Good God!
Here is Brian on the Phil Hendry Show. Brian?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Basically, I have a question for you. Do you know what beagles are breeded to do from life?
Hello?
Hello, yes.
Who's there? Who is this?
Brian.
What can I do for you, sir?
I'm asking you a question. Do you know how, you know what dogs' mentality, their brain, they are breeded for in life? What are they made for? They are hunting dogs.
To get newspapers, to get newspapers, to get slippers.
Negative, ma'am.
To chase balls.
Beagles are hunting dogs. From day
one. That's nonsense.
If it's any, it's in any veterinarian book, ma'am. And by the way, let me ask you a question. If you're
why is he in our house chasing balls if he wants to get a bird?
Because he finds things. That's a one-track mind animal.
I've never seen our beagle go out and kill an animal in his life. He bounces balls and he chases things.
Ma'am.
I don't think you know what you're talking about.
Yes, I do. I've been raising dogs, pure breeds.
Oh, he's a hunting animal.
The German Shepherd.
So, in other words, the great hunting beagle hunted down a soiled Kotex. Whoopee-doo. Oh, please.
All right. Okay, let me ask you a question. If your son came home, let's say, and you found marijuana, are you going to hit him with a pot? I mean, that's dog abuse,
ma'am.
Are you going to hit him with a frying pan?
Yes, I would.
Oh,
so you know
bull.
What?
You would not.
If my son came home with drugs, I would take the thick end of a 30-ounce Louisville Slugger and gone. That'd be his head.
Then you know what? You know what? Somebody needs to take that over your head.
Wait a second. Are you saying that you would let drugs into your home?
No, but I would communicate with my kid and tell my son, I have a son.
Oh,
okay?
That's all that's liberal.
And I would communicate and tell him how bad drugs are. Smack him over with a Louisville Slugger. What is that teaching?
I would slip a batting glove on
what
first.
What is that teaching?
I'll tell you, it teaches him not to bring drugs into my home.
Can we get back to the point here about hitting a dog with a fireplace shovel after putting on a golf glove and saying, Mommy gonna hit a hole in one?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, you don't know because you're psycho. You need some help. And, you know, there's people there probably saying it because they're probably scared crapless. You might hit them over the head with something, too.
It seemed like the thing to do at the time.
You're as bad as Charles Manson and all these other people.
Oh, my God.
You're comparing.
I hit a beagle with a shovel, and now I'm Charles Manson.
A beagle has rights, too, ma'am. A beagle has rights, too. It's an animal, yes, but it's in your country.
A beagle.
They have state laws. What state are you living?
I live in the state of California, and beagles.
And I guarantee you, they have regulations on dog abuse. You are crazy.
Brian, I will tell you this. I've known a lot of human beings, and I've never known one of them to leave a big pile of turd near a fence. That's what this beagle does all the time, and you're telling me...
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Yeah, human beings differ. They are trained to poop in a toilet. Dogs are trained to poop outside. They are also trained to hunt blood.
Hunt blood?
They smell blood. I mean, have you ever noticed if you're cooking, does a dog run to the kitchen? Yeah, they smell something interesting. That's the same thing with that. Why don't you put a cover over the darn trash can? They will not get a hold of it.
The dog goes in and
unraveled it.
Now, wait a minute. You said the dog. You said the dog goes into the kitchen and cooks what?
Okay, if you're cooking.
Dogs don't cook.
You're cooking. No, you. Listen to me. You.
You're cooking.
Oh, all right.
Y-O-U. You are cooking.
Yes.
Do I need to slow down?
Well, I don't cook. I have a cook.
So you don't cook.
No,
I don't. Try to tell me?
I don't cook. I have a cook. I have a woman who cooks.
All right. Say she's cooking. Let's say she's cooking.
All right.
Okay,
let's say
she's cooking. The dog doesn't run to the kitchen and smell the food.
The dog does what? No, he doesn't run into the kitchen. We don't let him into that portion of the house. We only keep him in the east wing.
He definitely don't even be owning a dog. Don't even have to have a should be having a child.
I have never known a dog.
What?
I've never known a human being to crap right on the kitchen floor, which is what this beagle did. Now, secondly, I don't know any beagle
let me ask.
And you're talking about beagles that go into kitchens.
He didn't say that. He said if the beagle smells something that somebody else is cooking.
Thank you, Bill. The beagle isn't
cooking. Okay? And a beagle craps on the floor because he's not house trained. He craps outside near a fence because he does.
So now beagles hunt and cook in the weird world of you two men. Is that
no.
it?
No, they don't hunt and cook.
None of us are saying nothing about cooking.
Oh, my God.
Who
I hope you.
Y-O-U-U.
And let me ask you something, Brian. If they hunt and cook, do they clean dishes, too? Because I don't think they do.
You know something?
You're
being purposefully stupid now. You're just on purpose being stupid. I happen to have witnesses who said that when the dog walked in with that tampon in his mouth, you didn't act out of instinct. You slipped on a golf glove. You muttered something about hitting a hole in one. You went out to the garage, got your golf spikes, came in, put them on while the dog is still there wagging his tail with a Kotex, went over to the fireplace, got the fireplace shovel, took a couple of practice swings, according to this Mr. Parker, and then hit the dog. Isn't that true?
I think this is very unfair.
Isn't that true? Isn't that what you did?
Maybe.
Maybe.
It's maybe now, Phil. She's crazy. If somebody's living in California, the
maybe
area,
I did, and maybe
household,
I didn't.
They need to call the dog warden and put this lady in jail for abuse.
You know, Brian, I love animals.
Oh, do you love animals?
No, listen to this song.
Please.
I love them. Listen.
Love is a four-letter word for you, ain't it?
Listen to this. This is one of my favorite songs.
How much is that dog in the window?
Oh, please.
Okay, this is really, this is vile.
No, I really, the one with the waggly tail flying over the trees.
Turn it off.
I'll tell you what, man.
Turn it back on.
I'm not even going to say man.
Turn it back on.
Turn that thing off. Turn it off.
Turn it on.
Off.
On.
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 On. Never mind.
Kind of lost your place, didn't you?
Yes. 1-800-449-8686.
On.
Off. Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Hendry Show. And now, Westwood One presents the G. Gordon Liddy Show, the G-Man. Another one of our gold mine finds. Another one of our original roster of talents. A real original guy. A real bald-headed Jesus. G. Gordon Liddy.
Hey, thank you, everybody. This is G. Gordon Liddy. This is the G-Man. And on my program today, I'm going to read some things I found on a website that actually come from the Phil Hendry Show, but I'm too stupid to know that. If you heard my show yesterday on my nationally syndicated radio show, and I'm on about 150 to 200 radio stations, I'm so lazy and I have so little show prep, even though I have a producer, that I literally run into the studio with just minutes remaining, pull something off a website, and read it as if it is verbatim fact. Yesterday, making a complete and utter bald-headed ass of myself, I went onto a website and found lawsuits that were attributed to a man named Stephen J. Bozell, not knowing that that's a character invented by Phil Hendry. Then I went on the air and read those lawsuits as if they actually happened, sounding like a dumbass. I probably make more money than Mr. Hendry, and I do about one-third the work. And that's how it is here on the G-Man Show. Let's take a phone call. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Rob? Okay, you hung up, all right. Anyway, I was on this website, and I was talking to my producer. I said, this is really some interesting stuff, a lawsuit. Oh, here's a phone call. Hell, let's go to a phone call. Hello, you're on the air on the G-Man Show. Okay, I'm sorry, they hung up. So I said, well, let's read some of these lawsuits. And it's apparently a guy by the name of, Stephen Bozell. Oh, here's a phone call. Let's go to a phone call now. Okay, I guess they hung up. So Stephen Bozell, and I'm reading these lawsuits. I'm going, this is nuts. I've never heard of anything about a man suing a public pool in Riverside because he got out of a swimming pool after doing a cannonball competition with one of his kids and found a dive stick hanging out of his you-know-what. Oh, here's a phone call now. Yes, did you hear the... Okay, they hung up. Now, I guess we don't have a show today because I've run out of material. I only read that little bit from Phil Hendry's website, and I'm not getting any phone calls. Goodbye.
This has been the G. Gordon Liddy Show. All 5 minutes of it.
Oh, wait a minute. I have a phone call. Hold on. Here. No, they hung up, too. Isn't that funny?
Okay. 1-800-449. Well, that's what happened. Oh, wait a minute. We have a phone call. Let me just see. Oh, no. They hung up. 1-800-449-8686. You know, we plow through the phone calls on this show at a record clip, don't we? Man, we just bust on through. Our screening process, we mentioned, is so stringent that people aren't generally on the phone with us for longer than like 5 seconds. Hi, Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, is it? Thanks for calling. And literally, that's how it goes. Rolling Stone magazine has done all of us a service. They have listed the worst films of the year 2001 before the Raspberry Awards have come out. You know, there's a problem I got with the Raspberries. I'm not really sure what it is. I think if it's a bad movie, you don't need to elevate it. You don't need to pile the shtick. See, the bad movie in and of itself is shtick enough. Why do you need to, like, hype the shtick on top of the shtick? Hey, here's the Raspberries. Worst actor. They've elevated the Raspberries from what should be just a clubhouse gag with a bunch of guys sitting around with a bottle to an event. The Raspberries, by definition, should just be like 6 guys sitting around with a 40-ounce bottle of Schlitz Bull and some cards and some cigars going, and, oh, yeah, what else sucked? Yeah, this one. And they're writing it down on a notepad, and then they just release it to the press like a week later, and then they go back to their card game. That's what. But now they've become so impressed with themselves, it's this larger-than-life event that I find over the top. But Rolling Stone has released. I see if you agree with these. I think I've seen only one of these movies. The Majestic. The film with Jim Carrey. They got that as the number one pile, the number one smoldering load of 2001. Jim Carrey has, I guess he's sort of gone the way of a lot of actors, but, you know, don't count the guy out. Don't write the guy off. Just because he's done about 6-7 bombs in a row, seriously, he's going to be back. Same thing with bomb number 2, The Shipping News, Kevin Spacey. They like to say that he's over because of Pay It Forward, K-Pax, and now The Shipping News. These guys that are good, man, they hang around. Jim Carrey will be back. So will Kevin Spacey. Did you see Majestic. Here's one we all saw, Pearl Harbor. This is number two on their list, actually. Pearl Harbor, and what they say is Michael Bay attempted to trivialize the most tragic sneak attack on American soil before 9/11, and he succeeded. Number three is The Planet of the Apes. That was a pile. Number four is America's Sweethearts. Number five, movie that I wanted to see, Shallow Hal. Did you see it? It looked pretty funny to me. In fact, that movie would come on, the trailer on TV, and everybody in the family, oh, we got to see that, because we like Jack Black. We think he's a riot and a half. And just the idea of a guy seeing fat girls as, what was wrong with that? Here's what the reviewer said. It featured something new from the Farley brothers, hypocrisy. They decked out Gwyneth Paltrow in a fat suit, poured on the cruel jokes, and told us they were only kidding. I don't understand why that. What's wrong with that? I mean, if you got a girl in a fat suit and you're saying that she is actually, you know, underneath all of that, there is a raging, gorgeous beauty. Isn't that what we're told? That beauty is only skin deep? Or in some cases, beauty is only like 7 inches worth of fat deep? The shipping news I mentioned, Lara Croft Tomb Raider, well, we've bagged on that enough. Rockstar, remember that one? Mark Wahlberg puts on leather, he puts on a wig, puts a stake right through the heart of rock cinema, that according to Rolling Stone. Freddie Got Fingered. Man, what happened to the Tom Green and who's the other guy? Johnny Knoxville. What happened to that strata of comedy? Who is the next self-mutilating star? Craig Taylor, ladies and gentlemen. Hey. As soon as his girlfriend takes off for Japan, he's going to take a razor blade to himself. You know, that used to be something they treated you for. People that self-mutilated, they used to put you in a room, man, and, like, give you doses of Limbitrol and Deseril and Xanax and all those other drugs that aren't legal anymore. And finally, The Mummy Returns. You know, those movies, so long as my kids are around, those films will make $300, $400 million a year because you cannot convince my kids otherwise. The Mummy Returns and The Mummy, this is high art in cinema. They just dig the hell out of it. Why not? All of a sudden, they take a film like that and they say it was not good. When I was growing up and I saw, like, whatever, Godzilla, it was the greatest thing I ever saw in my life. Somebody tell me it was a piece of crap? Sure it is. I mean, it's a monster coming out of Tokyo Bay. And it's stepping on the Japanese in their tanks, and it was bitching. Just all that, ah! Remember how the Japanese soldiers would scream when Godzilla's foot came down on the Jeep? It was all this whole anti-Japanese thing going on. We knew it. We loved it. Raymond Burr, he's getting aced. That was a great thing. Nobody's going to sit there and start doing major reviews on God-freaking-Zilla. Even though the special effects in that film, it was a guy in a hand puppet, some dude in a monster suit. You know how far superior it was to the new one? How did that happen? How's that possible? How's it possible with the state-of-the-art special effects that we have that the 1958 version of Godzilla, a guy in a monster suit crushing, you know, plastic buildings, is way superior to a real-life Tyrannosaurus Rex eating the World Trade Center? By the way, was the World Trade Center in? Oh, no, it hatched its eggs in Madison Square Garden. Well, that ain't the first egg that's been laid in that place. Okay. Jesus. All right, don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. The year 2000 CD, we raised almost $200,000, and our 2001 CD is out. The best of the Phil Hendry Show for the year 2001, bring it. If you'd like to help the great people at my friend's place, please make a donation of $20, whatever. And if you'd like a CD for your trouble, log on to our website. You can order it online. And I'm sure we'll have a phone number to give out, too, one of these days. It's the Phil Hendry Show.